As we have talked before, this is the longest chapter of the Bible, and it is literally a psalm. Many believe that it was written by Ezra, that it has 22 sections of 8, and each one of those sections begins with a successive letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And so the author of this was, you got to admit, he's good. And so each one that it starts, so we happen to be at Samech tonight. What does that correlate to in the English? I have absolutely no idea. But it's, and what we did learn is that every verse except for about, I think it's like 3 or 4 verses, are it speaks of and mentions the word of God in some fashion. Every single verse of this entire chapter, of all of these different 22 sections, there's a mention of the verse or of the word of God in some way, except for, I think it's either 4 or 5. So we'll find out. We're going to get to try and see if we can finish this up tonight. So look how he begins in verse 113. I hate the double-minded, but I love your law. So double-minded, isn't that an interesting thing to ponder on? Means that their thoughts are in two different places at the same time. So it would literally mean those people that, as the psalmist is referring to it, who are undisciplined and inconsistent in their walk. So they're hot, cold, warm, you know, in, out. 1 foot in the kingdom, 1 foot into the world. They can't make up their mind of what they want to do. They continue to battle with their own sinful desires and their own human emotions, and they just can't seem to say, I am going to be single-minded, I'm going to be single-focused, I'm going to walk with the Lord, I'm going to serve God, and I'm going to stay on track with Him. It's those double-minded people. And I think that, how do you prevent being double-minded? By saying, I love the law. I'm going to be a person of the book. I'm going to be in the Word. And for those that I know that are people that are committed to their daily devotions, they're committed to saying, I'm going to be in the Word on a daily basis, you will find that usually they're single-minded. It's the ones that, well, I tried, I didn't get up in time, it's so hard, I can't seem to get in the groove. Those are usually the double-minded people. And so, you want to be single-minded? Be a person that says, I love the Word of God. I'm going to be in it on a daily basis. And that person will be single-focused, and you won't be hot and cold, up and down, in and out all the time. So, verse 114, you are my hiding place and my shield. I hope, notice that word, I hope in your word. Depart from me, you evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. You know, in other words, don't distract me. I don't want to end up being double-minded. But I love that part where it says, you're my hiding place and my shield. You know, everything in this world and everything in this life is very, I think that it is, since it's temporary, and as we look at the things that we think are permanent, you will find nothing permanent in this world. But we think that it is. Isn't that a trip? How we ponder on those kind of things. So everything then that is not permanent has the potential of letting us down. So that's why it's important not to sink our roots and not to put so much expectation on the people or the things of this world, because it's going to let you down. And, or at least it has the potential of doing so. So the one thing that will not let us down, the one thing in this world that we have, is sitting in your lap right now. Did you know that? That's why he said, you are my hiding place and my shield. I will hope in your word. So God and his word is the only real place to find hope this side of the door of death. Everything else has the potential of letting us down, of breaking our heart, of causing us pain. Does that make sense? And I'm not saying we walk through life going, oh my goodness, you know, the world's falling apart. I don't trust anybody. I can't, you know, I'm not going to enjoy anything because everything's hopeless. No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that we look at this and we say, Lord, I will enjoy what you've given me for the time that you've given me. But one thing I know for sure, my hope is in you. My hope is in your word. And that's what I'm going to cling to on a daily basis. And that was, and that's, you know, as I sat down, with Bud, as I shared with you guys last Saturday. And he literally said, you know, Rob, I gave it a good shot for the doctors. I gave them their best chance. And honestly, they really don't have the answers. That's why they call it practicing medicine. And he said, but one thing I do know, I'm going to heaven, man. And you know, that's a cool way to face, you know, certain, for him anyway, outside of a miracle, he knew where he was going. Uphold me, he says, according to your word, that I may live. Notice that. And do not let me be ashamed of my hope. Notice he says, uphold me according to your word, not according to my feelings, not according to my, you know, my wants, not according to my desires, but uphold me according to your word. And if we will face and we will hold on to his word, then you're going to really experience life the way it's supposed to be lived. Hold me up and I shall be safe. And I shall observe your statutes continually. And you, notice how he starts off with this double-minded idea, this wishy-washy thing. And then he's talking about, I will hope, you are mine, I will keep, uphold me according to your word. And so it's almost like it was in a contrast to the double-minded person. You uphold me and I will be safe. And I shall observe your statutes continually. You reject those who stray from your statutes, for their deceit is falsehood. The word stray is interesting. It literally means to swerve or to detour. Interesting word. So it means those people, like the double-minded person, heading one direction, something captures their attention, and they swerve or they take a detour to go see. Instead of the person that loves the word, instead of the person that says, I'm going to keep your commandments, instead of the person that says, God, uphold me according to your word, the person who has their eyes looking at other things in this life, they'll be easy to go, I'm going to go check it out. I want to go see what that is. Oh, I heard about this new thing. You'll be constantly trying out new stuff. And that's what the word stray means, to swerve or to detour. You guys be careful. Make sure. That's why whatever we look at, and that's what Psalm 119 is all about. If it doesn't match up and line up to the word, then it ain't from the Lord. So you put away all the wicked, you reject them for their deceit is falsehood. Verse 119. You put away all the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore, I love your testimonies. And that's a picture of, you know, skimming off the top of the melting pot, the worthless slag. Interesting. Again, that ties back into the double-minded person. My flesh trembles for fear of you. And I'm afraid of your judgments. And that word afraid is interesting. It means to stand in awe, to respect, or to reverence. So it's not like, ooh, I'm afraid of what God's judgments are. No, it's, I look at it and I go, whoa. I handle it with respect. I view it with reverence. I realize that these are the words, this is the oracles of God. And therefore, wow, it has meaning and purpose. So, the 16th letter of the alphabet, and we reach number 3, the third verse of Psalm 119 that doesn't mention and have any reference to the word of God. In fact, verse 121 and 122, neither one of them do. I have done justice and uprightness. So, Lord, do not leave me to my oppressors. God, I'm doing what's right. I'm doing what is just. So, Lord, take care of me. Don't let these people get me. Be surety for your servant for good, and do not let the proud oppress me. So use the word oppress twice in those two verses. Don't leave me to my oppressors, and don't let the proud oppress me. And that word surety literally means to be a guarantee. To Lord, I need a guarantee that you're going to be good to me, that you're going to bless me. So Lord, I'm counting on you, because I don't want those on the outside to be able to come in and oppress me for their own purposes. My eyes fail from seeking your salvation and your righteous word. Deal with your servant according to your mercy and teach me your statutes. You know what, guys? You should have, or I recommend that you highlight verse 124. Because look at that. He understood something. God, deal with me according to your mercy. If God dealt with us according to his justice, I would not be standing here in front of you right now, okay? I would have been, signed, sealed, and delivered, and cooking in the lake of fire right now. And I think every one of us would be. So when we look at our relationship with God, we want to say, God, I want you to deal with me, deal with my heart according to your mercy. Lord, I don't want you to give me what I deserve, because I know what I deserve. But we can even add something different, Lord. I want you to deal with me not only according to your mercy, but according to your grace. Give me what I don't deserve, Lord. Let me enjoy the love that you have for me. And so, Lord, teach me. I need you to teach me your word. In fact, you guys, every morning before you start your morning devotions, you should pray that prayer. Lord, teach me your statutes. By your Holy Spirit, show me what I need to see today. And you know what, you guys? I don't care how many times you've read or studied or taught your Bible. We can always learn something new on a daily basis. So it's radical. I can read same sections of the Word of God that I've read many times before, and I say each morning, Lord, teach me something. Let me see something I've never seen before. And boom, there it is. I go, wow, that's cool. Even in all this Leviticus stuff, right? I am your servant. So, Lord, give me understanding. So teach me. But now I don't want you to just teach me. Now let me understand what you're teaching me. Give me understanding. So only by the Spirit of God can, and you know what, you guys? We have something that the psalmist didn't have. The indwelling of the Spirit of God. So we can literally say, Lord, teach me something. His Spirit bears witness with our spirit. He illuminates this spiritual book called the Word of God, and all of a sudden, poof, there it is. We live in an amazing time, you guys, that we have the Holy Spirit indwelling us that can not only teach us, but then also give us understanding. And it's very important that we ask for that. So he says, I am your servant. Give me understanding that I may know your testimonies. Verse 126, it is time for you to act, O Lord, for they have regarded your law as void. If you have been watching the news or keeping up with what ISIS is doing, this could be our prayer. Lord, it's time for you to act, because ain't nobody else doing anything. Lord, it is time for you to act. They have completely regarded your law as if it's nothing. They're killing and butchering and murdering, and no one seems to really be doing anything. Egypt, of all people, is the ones over there, you know, trying to deal with this. And we could be praying, God, please, it's time for you to do something with these people, because man, oh man, nobody else is. And they are a hateful, evil people. So that literally could be our prayer. They are that way, therefore I love your commandments more than gold, yes, than fine gold. Therefore, all your precepts concerning all things I consider to be right, and I hate every false way. You know, it's interesting. Gold is nice, but it's temporary. You know that. So gold is nice, but it is temporary. So the word of God is eternal. And so we should be craving this just as much as we crave, you know, the fine jewelry that this world has to offer. And that's what the psalmist is saying. So now we get into the 17th letter. Your testimonies, verse 129 says, are wonderful. Therefore, my soul keeps them. Lord, your word is awesome. So no wonder my soul desires to keep them. I want to do that. It's not because I have to. I want to. The entrance of your words gives light. It gives understanding to those that have degrees and PhDs. Is that what yours says? To who? Oh. Thank God he put that in there because that means me. So it could say, it gives understanding to a guy like Rob. You see? And you could put your name in there unless you happen to have your PhD or whatever. But as wonderful, you know, Mari and I, we talk about this, how as wonderful as the word of God is, you guys understand, it was written for the simple to understand. It was never meant for only the elite, which, you know, the Catholic Church did for a season of its time. Oh, no. We will be the possessors of God's word. And only we can understand it, and therefore you can't have a copy of it. We'll keep the copies of the word. Do you guys realize that's what the Dark Ages is all about? It kept the people in the dark. Isn't that interesting? And so enlightenment came when Martin Luther said, the word of God is made for the simple. It needs to be in everyone's hands. And he nailed this thesis, you know, on that church door. And do you guys know that the Gutenberg, you guys know the very first printing press in Germany, do you know what it printed for its first book? The Bible. Isn't that radical? Saying, it's time to put it into the people's hands. It was never designed to be only for the elites and only for those. No, we need it in our hands. And God made it to say, you can understand it. Some people say, oh, it's way too heavy for me. I just can't understand it. Oh, no. Then you maybe are not, maybe you're not simple. Maybe you're too intelligent. That's why you can't understand it. No, it's for the simple. And so, man, you know, well, you heard Gail Irwin. He said, man, if when I'm teaching, if even a child can't understand me, then I have failed at my mission. And I mean, that convicts me. I want that to be so. I want to be able to say the same thing. I opened my mouth and I panted and I longed for your commandments. Here's the fifth one, verse 132, that doesn't have a mention of God's word. Look upon me and be merciful to me as your custom is toward those who love your name. Direct my steps by your word, and let no iniquity have dominion or rule over me. So, for those of us that are saying, and let me say it to you this way. Let me explain a principle. Any major decision that we have in life, my pastor taught me a long time ago, that you can pray and you can ask God to give you his word and he will give you something from his word to confirm that major decision that you're making in your life. So even verse 105, remember what it said, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Now here he says, direct my steps by your word and let no iniquity rule or govern me. So if we are people of the book, then each day God is going to direct the steps that you have. You're going to plan your day. You're going to plan your way. But the proverb says he will direct your steps. So we look at the word of God and we say, well, if it's not in here, and if it isn't something that God is leading or ordaining in my life, then I don't know if I want to be a part of that. And I can tell you, major decisions, pray and say, God, I want you to direct my step by your word. So give me something that to confirm it in your word, whether you want me to do that or not. And you know what? Mari and I have done that, and it's been an amazing, amazing ride to watch how God does that. I even did that before I had a major surgery in my life. I asked the Lord, you know, give me a verse that will confirm this. And I am so glad I had that because, man, when the troubles came, I had his word. It became the anchor, like, boom, this is it. And even though it got rocky, I had my anchor was into the word, and he kept me from drowning, literally. So, redeem me, he says in verse 134, from the oppression of man, that I may keep your precepts. Make your face shine upon your servant. You know, in the Hebrew, it literally means to, Lord, look lovingly upon me. That's what it means by make your face shine upon me. Lord, look upon me with love in your heart. I like that. That's cool, huh? That we can pray that prayer, you know that. Lord, may you look upon me with love in your heart. Look lovingly upon me. How different that is from the way many of us were taught the way God looks. We were taught, God looks sternly upon me with anger on his face and his eyebrows squinted, ready to pound me into the, you know, into the pavement if I make a mistake. Boom, you just blew it, Rob. You're done. Now, that's not the way that the psalmist says, Lord, look kindly upon your servant because I'm obeying your word. Make your face shine upon your servant. Teach me your statutes. Rivers of water run down from my eyes because men do not keep your law. You know what, you guys? If this is written by Ezra, this shows us a piece of his heart or part of his heart. He is looking out at the world as he saw it at that time. And think about it, you guys. I mean, it was probably pretty bad, but how bad could it have been compared to what we're living in? And he looks out and he goes, God. And he begins to weep as he goes, look at how people are living. And he would be looking at his Jewish, you know, brothers and sisters in the land of Israel. He's looking at them going, God, they're lost because they're not following your word. They have your word. They know its availability, but yet they are not seeking your word. They're not keeping your law. So because they're not keeping your law, they're suffering consequences. They're being punished for their sins. They're suffering the consequence for their sins. All they need to do is just abide in the word. I mean, have you guys ever felt that way? When you look around at your family, at your friends, at your coworkers, you go, oh, if they would just understand how much God loves them. He's given them his word, not to rob them of their fun, but to guide their life because he loves them. And you look at how they're suffering, the consequences for the choices that they're making, and they're getting scarred and beat up. And you go, wow. But you know what I can tell you guys? Even though I am sad when I look at the condition of our world, I can tell you I don't know if I have the passion for the lost that Ezra had. Tears aren't streaming from my eyes. My heart grieves, but not enough to cry. So that's where I think maybe we need to be praying, Lord, give us a deeper passion for the lost than what we already have. Make it a deeper one for us, God. Verse 137, righteous are you, O Lord, and upright are your judgments. God, you judge, and your judgment is right. It is fair. It is correct. Your testimonies, which you have commanded, are righteous and faithful. So even the things that you've given God, your word can be trusted. It's faithful because you are right. My zeal has consumed me because my enemies have forgotten your words. Your word, that kind of ties back into what we were just talking about. Your word is very pure. Therefore, your servant loves it. So once again, God, your word can be trusted because it is pure. I am small and despised, And yet, I do not forget your precepts. Your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness. So how long will God be right? For everlasting. So even when this world ceases to exist, he will still continue to be right, you guys. And your law is truth. You want to know what absolute truth is? You're looking in the book right now. That's where we find absolute truth. You ask people in this world, they don't know. Truth is based upon their feelings, their emotions, their society that they live in, based upon the morals and the values that they have. But that is not truth. There is absolute truth, and it is not left up to society to determine it. Trouble and anguish have overtaken me. That literally, trouble and anguish can literally be translated pressure and stress. Do you guys feel pressure and stress living in the world you're living in? Crazy, huh? I don't know if I can take any more. I'm stressing out. And this was written in a time when, without technology and all the stuff that is supposed to get rid of our pressure and our stress. But I think it's added to it, don't you? Instant communication. You can't get away, myself included. I throw myself under the same bus that I'm going to throw you guys under. We can't get away from it, can we? It's instant communication, and it brings with it all the requests and everything that happened. Pressure and stress have overtaken us. Yet, your commandments are my delight. I find freedom from the pressure. I find freedom from the stress when I look into your word. That is a time when you can truly be stress-free, is when you're studying the word of God. The righteousness of your testimonies is, how long? Everlasting. Give me understanding, Lord. Give it to me because I need that, and I shall live. So, the 19th letter, I cry out with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord, and I will keep your statutes. You guys, I, in 2007, I have a little note here, and that's why I tell you, when God speaks to you, when you're going through the word, when you're going through something difficult, when you're going through a time of trial, and God speaks to you, he ministers to you from his word, date it and write something down so that you'll be able to come back to it someday, sometime later, and look at it and say, I remember now. I remember when I was going through X, Y, and Z, God used that to speak to me. And I have a little note here that I wrote here that I said, Jesus, on November 29th in 2007, I pray this prayer. Lord, hear my cry. After my surgery, after the takedown, after I'd got putting all back together, all of a sudden I started bleeding. I started bleeding bad. So Mari ended up having to take me down to the emergency room. But before I was even able to tell Mari that, hey, Mari, I'm bleeding really bad and I don't know why, before I was even able to tell her, I was reading this in my morning devotions. And so I said, Lord, I don't know why. So my Heavenly Father, hear your son, and I'm asking you to heal me, because look what he says. I cry out with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord, I will keep your statutes. I cry out to you, save me, and I will keep your testimonies. So for me, that was a day when, at a moment when I needed it, it turned out to be, it was no big deal. Ended up spending the day in the ER and then getting cut loose, and it was no big deal. So God reassured me by, you know, sometimes he gives you his word to reassure you, and sometimes you pray it back. You pray that. You say, Lord, that's my prayer to you. And that was that for me on that day in 2007. Look at this. Have this one. Get your highlighter ready. I rise. What time? Before the dawning of the morning. How early is that?
Early.
That's really early. It's getting later right now. The dawn is coming up, I don't know, 6 something now. But that'll soon change when we change the time back again, you know. But I rise before the dawning of the morning and I cry for help. Why? Because I hope in your word. So without God's help, We couldn't make it through the day, you guys. That's why it needs to be at the start of your day. Even if you do swing shift or you do graveyard or whatever, whatever your day begins, right, wake up in the morning and cry out to God. Make that your time that you begin your day. However you begin your day, make it by hoping in the Word of God. 148, my eyes are awake through the night watches, that I may meditate on your word. So, Lord, hear my voice according to your loving kindness. O Lord, revive me according to your justice or according to your law. So even when you guys, and when we wake up in the middle of the night, I was talking to a brother that is going through a very difficult time. And he was saying, Rob, I wake up in the middle of the night, my mind just starts going. And I said, well, here's what you need to do, bro. Get your Bible out. You know, just get your Bible out, start reading it, and watch what happens. So he started doing that, and he said, within probably 15 minutes, the peace of God comes over him. He's able to go back to sleep. It's an amazing thing. They draw near who follow after wickedness. They are far from your law. The wicked people don't care about God's word. You are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are truth. Notice, not like, you know, people that want to make God into their own image. Well, I believe in some. I believe when the Bible talks about heaven, but I don't believe when it talks about hell. I don't believe in that. And I'm going to be sharing some stuff with you guys on Sunday that Rob Bell just said. Now, he took stuff out of God's word, and I'm going, oh, my word, man. So all your commandments are truth. Concerning your testimonies, I have known of old that you have founded them forever. God's word, all of it, not part, all of it is truth. All of it has been founded by God forever. The 20th word. Oh, we might finish this, you guys, if you behave yourselves. Consider my affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget your law. Listen, if we will be men and women that stick to and proclaim the truth of God's word without compromise, without yielding to political correctness, without yielding to, you know, the compromise of this world that's saying, can't we all just get along? And you Christians, or if you just, you know, not be so fundamental. If we will live and be people of the book and we'll proclaim God's word without compromise, I'm not saying that we become jerks about it. I can tell you what, you're going to get attacked because we live in a politically correct world. We are politically incorrect because we believe in absolute truth of God's word. And if we stick to that and we believe in that, we are living in a society that is becoming more and more progressive towards removing God's word or compromising it. So don't be surprised if you are a person that lives by the book, people are going to look at you and say, well, you know, why can't you just get along? Why can't you just learn to sing Kumbaya and just be cool about all this? And so it's going to come in many ways. And sometimes it can even come from people within the church. There are Christians that are even saying, can't you guys just chill out? You know, you'll find that even with some of your Christian friends. I mean, Jim Pila was telling me that, you know, he had a group of people that he went to, a little party at their house, and all of a sudden, bam, the booze came out just as if it was back in the world. And they were a group of Christian people, and everybody's getting hammered. And he said, wow, you know, so we start saying, you know what? Nah, I don't fit here. Listen, you and I as Christians that want to be fundamental Christians, we're going to find more and more and more that we don't fit in this world. So don't be surprised by that. So plead my cause and redeem me, revive me according to your word. Lord, I'm going to live right, and so therefore you will be my defense. I don't have to worry about the law defending me. You will be my defense. Because I can tell you, the law is going to even let you down, you guys. The court system will let us down. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they do not seek your statutes. So somebody that's not seeking God, then they're not going to find him, obviously. I had a cool conversation with, I had to end up going to a specialist because I kept coughing from that pneumonia that I had last year. And the guy had on his, his doctor's coat that the snake on the stick, you know, the serpent on the stick. And so Mari and I were sitting there with this doctor, and he's telling me everything. I said, "It's an interesting thing on your coat there." And he looked at it, and he says, "Oh, I think he called it the caduceus or something like that." And I said, "Do you have any idea where that came from?" And he goes, "Well, I think I remember the story." And I said, "Well, allow me to tell you." And so then I got the chance to say, "Well, according to the Bible, this," and I took him back to the book of Moses and how, "Look to the serpent and you will be healed." And what did he say, Mari? He just kind of went, "Oh, yeah, that's right," or "That's interesting," or something like that. But you guys, if you look for your opportunities with any of them, you're going to find an opportunity. Even when I was talking to my dentist the other day, you know, he started telling me, "Well, I'm trying to figure out all these different religions. I got a Book of Mormon. I got a Quran." And I said, "Well, you know, it's good that you're seeking, but there's only one religion where God's not asking anything from you. He wants to give it to you. All the rest of them are systems whereby you have to perform. Only Christianity is God saying, 'I've already reached out to you. I want to have a relationship with you.'" And so it was an interesting conversation I had with a dentist. So you guys, if you're open and you're willing, God will provide those opportunities for you. And then you got to be ready to jump in. So let's see, where am I? Where did I leave off? What one? 156, right? "Great are your tender mercies, O Lord. Revive me according to your judgments. Many are my persecutors and my enemies, yet I do not turn from your testimonies, Lord." No matter how, no matter who's coming against me, no matter how people are attacking me. You guys, have you been keeping track of that lady, the florist up in Washington State? She would give the flowers for a homosexual wedding, but they wanted her to come to the wedding and do all the flowers at the wedding. She refused to do it. So they're taking her to court. And they're trying to take away her business. They're trying to take away her home. They're trying to take away her savings. They literally are trying to bankrupt this lady. I mean, and just because she exercised her freedom of speech against the homosexual agenda. And they're coming at her. I mean, she can read this. "Many are my persecutors and my enemies, and yet," let me just tell you something, "yet I do not turn away from your testimonies." This lady is literally saying, "You can take everything away from me. I'm still not doing the wedding." You got to hand it to the lady. It goes totally contrary to my belief in what God's word says to me. I mean, she is just on fire. And I'm not saying she hates them, and I'm not saying we are to hate them. But she is saying, for me to go and do the wedding, it would mean that I approve of this lifestyle, which I do not. And so, amazing thing for her. "I see the treacherous, and I am disgusted, because they do not keep your word. Consider, Lord, how I love your precepts. Revive me. Breathe life back into me, O Lord, according to your loving kindness." So, Lord, do it because of your great love for me. Now look at this, 160, another one that we need to have highlighted. "The entirety of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgments endures forever." So it is not up to anyone to pick and choose, "Well, I like this, but I'll tear out that little section right there, because I don't like what it says." I mean, you guys just, if you're reading your morning devos right now in Leviticus, it just got done saying about the sin of homosexuality, along with many other sins. But that was one of them, that it's an abomination, along with sleeping with your stepmom and all these other things. So you can't say, "Okay, I'm going to black that out because that goes contrary to my feelings and my personal opinion." No. All the entirety of the word of God is true. Every one of his righteous judgments will endure forever. So even if people say, I don't like what that says. Well, that's good. I appreciate that. But it's not going to change that God's word is truth. Even people that want to change the word, they want to create a new Bible that gets rid of certain things. Wow. God help those people that are trying to do that. Princes persecute me. This is the 21st letter. Princes persecute me without a cause, but my heart stands in awe of your word. Do you know what awe means? Like, wow, whoa. When you open up your Bible, you can go, wow, this is radical. Oh, man. That's why some people say, I won't write in my Bible because I'm in awe of it. No, God wants us to write it because remember, it was written for the simple, right? Okay? For us, the simple ones. I rejoice at your word as one who finds a great treasure. And so, you know what, you guys? It's not that it's like a treasure. This is a treasure. When we study the word, it's like treasure hunting. You go nugget hunting. Oh, man, look at that nugget. I hate and I abhor lying, but I love your law. I love your law. I don't like it when people lie or they're dishonest, but, man, I love God's word. Seven times a day I praise you because of your righteous judgments. Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. Isn't that a radical thing, that how God's word brings literally to a searching soul, to someone like me when I was going through a time of difficulty, you know, when I all of a sudden I start bleeding, I turn to the word of God and it like satisfies the soul. Oh, okay, I'm going to be okay. I know God's got me in his hand. Even if he were to take me home, I know he's got me. Because, you know, like I said, there will be no lasting peace here, but the word of God, when we open it up, it is a place where God brings to us great peace. Great peace, he says, have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. Lord, I hope in your salvation, and I do your commandments. So it's not just that I hope for them. I say, yeah, they're cool. No, I'm going to obey them. I'm going to do what God's asking me to do. My soul keeps your testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. So not only will I do them with my mind and my will and my emotions, that's the soul, but I'm going to love them exceedingly. I'm going to do what God's asking me to do, not only with my soul, but also with my spirit. I keep your precepts and your testimonies, for all my ways are before you. Lord, you see it all, so Lord, please keep me on track. And finally, the 22nd verse, Lord, let my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. Let my supplication come before you. Deliver me according to your word. My lips shall praise you. My lips shall utter praise, for you teach me your statutes. So do you see the theme of this final letter? Lord, you got to give it to me. Give me understanding. Deliver me. Let my supplication, my lips will utter praise. Why? Because you teach me. My tongue shall speak of your word. Why? For all your commandments are righteousness. So, you guys, we can speak of God's word. Why? Because it's right. It's true. Let your hand become my help, for I have chosen, you see that? Chosen your precepts. Very simple. Make a choice. Now, we can choose many things. When we're facing difficulty, when you're facing the pain of a post-surgery complication like I was, when you're facing the break of a relationship, when you're facing the change of a job, when you're facing uncertainty in your world, look what he says. I choose your precepts. I choose to believe that your word is true, and I'm going to hang on to that. I'm going to choose to turn my way turn to God's word and look for that place of peace. I got a buddy of mine that's going through a crazy time, a couple of them right now. Two friends going through absolute insanity through the court systems. And the only thing in all of that insanity that will give them any kind of peace in the midst of it all, choose your precepts. I'm going to look to the word, and I'm going to let God's word bring me that peace and that say. One of them, I sent it to him this morning as he was walking into his craziness through the court system. I said, don't forget Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways. Give yourself to him. You know, see what I'm saying? Delight yourself in him, and he will then direct your path. Amazing. I long for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is my delight. Let my soul live, and it shall praise you. Lord, as long as I'm alive, I'm going to praise you. And let your judgments help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, Lord. When I go astray, come and find me. For I do not forget your commandments. 176 verses, bam. How's that, you guys? Isn't that fun? That was fun, right? We made it. So, interesting. Psalm 120 is a song of ascents. These are some of the psalms now that they begin to sing as they're on their way up to Jerusalem. So every three times a year, the Jews were required to go to Israel, go to Jerusalem from wherever they lived in the known world at that time. And as they were going there, they would sing songs. They called it ascent because no matter where you are in the land of Israel, Jerusalem is always up. We're going up to Jerusalem. Even if you're up above Jerusalem, up in the Galilee area, up in the area of Dan, and geographically you're going down, you're still going up. We're going up to Jerusalem. So that's why all of these are called songs of ascent. We're ascending up to Jerusalem. So, you know what? You guys have been really good, so we're not going to do it tonight. We did. You guys want one? In my distress, since you went awe, I'm going to give it to you, okay? Our longing as Christians, you know, so for us, you might be thinking, oh, wait a minute, Rob, I'm not a Jew. I'm not going up to Jerusalem. We will be in a couple weeks. But some of you may not be, but we as Christians, we can long for heaven, if you will, kind of as the Jews would long for Jerusalem, we are longing for the new Jerusalem. We're longing for heaven. So these could be our songs. Lord, in my distress, I cried out to the Lord, and he heard me. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips. Some believe, by the way, that Hezekiah might have been the one to write this. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from the lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. God, those who spread gossip, those who spread false rumors, Lord, you deliver me. You protect me. You be the one that shields me. What shall be given to you, or what shall be done to you, you false tongue, sharp arrows of the warrior, with coals of the broom tree? Have you guys ever thought of how, you know, even as kids, remember our parents taught us to sing the song, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Do you know that if you taught that to your child, you lied? And our parents lied to us. You know why? Words do hurt. They are sharp. They can cut. They can bruise. They can damage. And when we use them against each other, when we say things to each other, when people say them to us, look it, they are like, literally like a sharp arrow, because they penetrate into the heart, into the conscious, and into the subconscious, to where all of a sudden that's something that you hang on to for a while. Have you guys seen that one commercial? What is it? You know that words do hurt you? And he runs into the thing that says the end. Have you seen that? Yeah. Yeah, you're the cowboy one. But you know what, you guys? Be careful with the words that we use. It is so important that even with your children, it's okay to tell them, you know what, I understand words can hurt. And that's why we need to be careful with the words that we use, because they do hurt. They cut, They pierce into the heart. I mean, sometimes you guys, kids can hear words when they're kids that will change and alter. They'll never forget it, even as an adult. And so be careful how we speak to each other. Be careful. We have the ability to build up or to tear down. I would rather be guilty of building each other up. Amen, you guys? Excuse me. Woe is me that I dwell in Meshech. Up, that is literally up in the north. That I dwell among the tents of Kedar. That's down in the south. So, Lord, I dwell among heathen peoples that are angry and they're hostile. And, you know, it literally reveals to me that I don't belong here. My soul has dwelt too long. See, he's saying, I'm in the world. Man, I don't belong here. My soul has dwelt too long with one who hates peace. I am for peace. But when I speak, they are for war. Could the Jews be saying these, you know, literally quoting this psalm in their situation right now, you guys? I mean, when you got Iran saying, we're going to drive you into the sea, we're going to destroy you, and, you know, you have ISIS around them, you have the north, the south, they're living amongst this little land living there, and everybody hates them. And yet, that I can tell you, Mari and I, you know, we've been to Israel, I think, 7 times, and I can tell you what the people want. They want peace. They just want people to, you know, just to accept them, to leave them alone. It's an amazing thing. But yet, we live in this crazy world right now, too, and the more we live here, are you beginning to discover, the more you discover you don't belong here. The darker it gets out there, the more we realize, man, I mean, anymore, I'm saying, Lord, how much more can you take? How much more are you going to put up with? And yet, that just makes us realize we don't. This isn't our home, you guys. We're going to spend eternity. We ain't spending it here. Praise the Lord. We're going to go where our Heavenly Father's at, who loves us dearly and wants what's best for us. And we're going to see Him face to face someday. Awesome. So there you have it, a psalm of ascent. You can read ahead if you want, and you'll see these psalms. They're beautiful, that they would sing these songs as they were on their way walking to Jerusalem. Pretty cool. Lord Jesus, we thank you. Thank you for Psalm 119. Wow. What a love for the word that man had that penned those words. And yet, we know that it was your Holy Spirit behind his pen and behind his heart. And so it just proves to us, God, that your word is living and it is powerful and it is sharper than a two-edged sword. And it will live on forever. And it is what we need to be living by. It is what we need to allow to become that which directs our path. And Lord, I pray that we would be people of the book. And Lord, as we learned even tonight, that we would be people that are careful, so careful with the words that we use and the words that we speak with each other. Let us, Lord, be people that build each other up by using your word to encourage each other. Thank you, Lord, that we are people that live in a time that have your Holy Spirit indwelling us, giving us the power and the ability to do what you've asked us to do. Be with us tonight, Lord, as we leave this place. In Jesus' name, amen.